And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And in our study of the book of Hebrews, we reminded ourselves that God, in his creativity, created us. God died on the cross to save us. And thus, here we are on planet Earth. That's why we're here. And God is an awesome God, the only God, the only Savior. And therefore, God wants us, expects us, since we're made in the image and likeness of God, to be able to exercise our head, our heart, and our enjoyment of God, his person. That's why we're created. Now, in the process, the book of Hebrews is to help the believing believer to understand Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection, made awesome things possible. An impossible relationship is now made possible. The reality of that relationship is now made possible. Christ has made it possible. Therefore, book of Hebrews, as we have journeyed through the book of Hebrews, and as we came at the end of chapter 10, as we came, we are reminded in chapter 10, I'll even take a little context with it. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, great repayment. For reason, you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. In other words, you do God's will and reap the benefit. Verse 37, for yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So we're waiting for the Lord's return. In the meanwhile, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition, judgment, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Back to verse 38. The just shall live by faith. By faith. Faith is the key to exercise your relationship to God. Now, and as we did that last time in Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 3, we reminded ourselves, faith, and we'll remember the substance, verse 11, 1, faith is the substance, is the word substance, is the word under, and then take the word standing under. Something standing under the pew, the floor, is holding the pew to support, substance, support. Faith is the standing under, is the supporting of things hoped for. And we did all that so that you could see it and understand it. Faith. And everyone has faith. It's a commodity that no human being born on the face of the earth doesn't have. So in God's wonderful, saving, creative wisdom, he made it so that each human being would be able to know him. And you've heard people say, well, I don't have faith, or I don't have that faith. Everyone has faith, and we shared all that. You can't do anything. Faith is looking out from yourself, taking something, appropriating something you don't have. And we did it with a key in the car. You put the car key in the ignition. Why do you put that key in the ignition? Because you believe that key by faith. Here's the word faith. Remember, we did all that. Faith, believe. They come from the same root. They come out of the same basket. Here's the word persuade, to be persuaded by words, to be influenced. And out of that comes faith. Out of that comes belief, among other words, faithfulness. They come out of it. So when you think of faith, think of the word believe. When you think of the word believe, think of the word faith. Everyone has it. So in order to stick the key in the ignition, you believe it's the right key, you believe it's the right car, and by faith, you're going to turn the key and hope for the main motor starts. That's what you're going to do. And you do it when you eat your food. You eat it by faith. You have no idea. You might have read the menu on the back of the box. It said these are the things in it. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? And you do. And you believe. I don't know anybody except the only place I remember anything even like that is you probably remember there's a place called Legal Seafood. It was up in Boston, etc. And Legal Seafood was noted back then. I heard they changed hands. Someone bought them out. But Legal Seafood tested the fish and everything with a microscope in the restaurant before they served it. That's what they did. They tested the food to make sure, everything houses everything. And nothing wrong with that. It's what you do. You house all kinds of germs. You have all kinds of bacteria. You got good guys, bad guys, little guys, big guys. You're loaded with them. And as long as the battle's on and you're winning, as long as good bacteria is over, little square of you is billions of cells. We can't even talk about them. And as long as your good guys are winning, you feel healthy. When the bad guys win, you feel sick. Can I tell you? And so faith is a commodity you have. It doesn't make anything what it is. It just appropriates your belief in what it is. That's all it does. Your belief in the pew doesn't make the pew the pew. The pew is the pew. The doctor is the doctor. The dentist is the dentist. They are what they are. You don't make them, but you believe and have faith, and you sit in the pew, and you go to the doctor. That's what you do. You're exercising faith 24 hours a day, and therefore you can never say, God made it so that I can never be say wrong. God made it so simple that anyone and everyone, no matter what, can be saved, because everyone exercises faith. Now, having said that, without faith, the just shall live by faith. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll read verse 1, 2, 3. Now, faith is the substance, the under foundation of things hoped for. It's the evidence. The evidence that you believe the pew is the pew is you're sitting on it by faith. You sit in the pew by faith, and you're evidencing. You're making a pronouncement. The pew is the pew. How? By your believing it. What are we going to do with God? We're going to let God be God and have what? Faith in God. We don't make God. We point to him by faith. Faith is the substance, the foundation, to say something, to make something clear. Now, and when you think of it, and doesn't make anything real. Everything is what it is. Faith can only acknowledge it and exercise a relationship to it. And when you go, just think of it, since we're wandering a bit, if you had to go to Boston and you had to take the bus or the train or whatever you take, make believe, and you get on the bus and you get on the bus. Here's the bus, and you go on the bus stop and get on the bus. And you get on the bus and you believe the bus is going to Boston. That's what you believe. by faith. And you get on that bus, and you get on it. Why? Because you expect, by faith, that that bus is going to Boston, not to New York, to Boston. And by faith, that's what you're doing. And you're saying out to people, anyone that wants to look at you, this bus is going to Boston. That's what you're doing. And as you do that, so you're making a pronouncement about something, whatever it is. Now, having said that, Hebrews, and in the verse 2, for the elder by it, faith, it, the elders obtained a good report. In other words, God honored their faith. Verse 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 belong together. Verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And therefore, what do we know? Well, what are you bringing up creation for? Because there's no way to understand creation without faith. Why? That's what you read in verse 3. Framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are seen. Ex nihilo, God, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, God created heaven and earth out of nothing. All the stars out of nothing. The only way you could ever understand God, because we just can't handle it. God out of nothing. How can you take nothing and make everything? That's what God did. And the only way he said you can do it, the only way you can enjoy God, because he's infinite and different and holy, is to understand by faith. And therefore, do you understand nothing needs to be anything? Nothing is nothing. And then all of a sudden, God can make it whatever he wants. And you have to understand that. God, I need to honor God by faith. There's no way for me to do any business with God except by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You've got to stop at that. Now, that's important to understand. You live by faith. And then we got to get going. To Romans in chapter 1. And you might... And remember, we looked at Habakkuk in the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith, etc. That's how we understand Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon and all of that. Romans in chapter 1, verse 16. Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, because if anyone should have understood God, they did. They should. And to the also to the Gentile, Greek, the Gentile. For wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, hang on, we're going to go and tackle that a little bit. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over in Hebrews and before I do that, would you go with me in the light? We've got to do it by faith. And what we just read in Romans 1 and 18, we're just, the righteousness of God is obtained by faith. Now, everything is going to go, and we have to look to God to do a wonderful, wonderful thing in our head and heart. Now, so therefore, by means of faith, we walk by faith, etc. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith, by means of faith, not by means of our sight, what we see, what we feel, what we fear. So, having said that, and sliding over now to exercise it, to exercise faith. Over, if I can, to Romans. And in Romans, back over, I should have had to stay there even. Romans and chapter 4. Now, there's a word you want to underline, rightness. It's a wonderful thing to have something right. To know you're on the driving, going somewhere, and to know that you're on the right road to get there. When you question it, it's uneasy. Is it this right road? To go down rightness. Rightness is a wonderful thing. To want to do the right thing in the right way. There's something inside that does you, at least for most people. I want to do right. That's what I want to do. Not about me. I just want to do it right. And God. Now, how am I even going to begin to do that when in my old nature, it is not right? There is no righteousness in my flesh. Otherwise, I could earn being saved. There isn't any. So, God, you have to provide a rightness that makes life practical and profitable and pleasing to God. I have to exercise a rightness. I want that rightness. We've shared it many times, as you know. God, you have to make us right. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, I'm going to have you hold your finger here and go over with me to Isaiah 46. Different ways to do it. I'm just trying to maybe do it a little differently. Isaiah and chapter 46. And God, what are you going to tell us? Isaiah chapter 46. May I go in the light of Cyrus? God is going to create him, you know, and he's going to let the Jews go back to the land, etc. Now, in the light of that, chapter 46 and in verse 12. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, strong, stiff, that are far from me, far from righteousness. They are near righteousness. What's righteousness got to do with anything? In verse 13. I bring near my righteousness, God's righteousness. It shall not be far off. And because I bring rightness into the equation, I make rightness part of the environment. Therefore, you can be saved. If it isn't right, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. It better be right. Now read it again. Verse 13. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. God's righteousness. Nothing's going to come out of good in this unless God finds and sees in every aspect a rightness, a wonderful rightness. Now hang on. Back over to Romans. And may I pick up in chapter 4, sliding if I can. I'll read it. Verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertain to thy father, pertaineth to the flesh, hath found? What did he find? 4. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, you qualify. You qualify. No one made you. You're just as good as, you're good enough. Good enough. Verse 3. And what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Counted to him for righteousness. Verse 4. And now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So, little word we're looking at, watch it. It's over and over and over again to get the point. Do you see the word in chapter 4, verse 3, the verb counted, counted. Sliding down next verse, counted, reckoned, 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 counted, reckoned. What is the word? It's the word imputed, imputed. To go by, to reckon, to calculate, to compute, to count something, to do something and count it, to reckon it to somebody, whatever, to count it. That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to reckon it, to say this is how it has to be, count it. And that's the word. So, again, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies, declares righteous, the ungodly, his faith is counted, there's your little word again, counted for righteousness. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness to the man unto whom God imputeth, there's your word, counted, reckoned, imputed, imputed, count, to reckon, etc. Again, verse 6, middle, righteous, of the man in whom God imputed righteousness without works, etc. And go down to verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God won't reckon to your account sin, he'll reckon to your account righteousness. Now, and therefore, reckon to calculate. His faith, chapter 4, verse 5, the end, his faith, a person's faith, is, without faith it's impossible to please him. His faith is counted, computed, reckoned for righteousness. Now, so God, all of it's there, we'll just do a little illustration to help you for the moment. I'll help you for the moment, let me see. Here's the Bible and all the wonderful truths in the Bible. Now, having said that, and what does God want you to do? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must come and must believe that he is. So, here you are. You will never see this. That's people go way back. You never see the illustration. You never see it. F is for faith. And what does God want me to do? God wants me to have faith in who he is and his word. That's what God wants. And when I do that, I am honoring the word of God and the God of the word. That's what I'm doing. And when I do that, God does a wonderful thing. By faith, God, you're going to go and do it. So now, here we are looking. Here we are. But, now, when you look at me, righteous, his faith is counted for righteousness. God wanted my faith, and God said, I count it as righteous. I'll do it another way. Here's God, if you can imagine, God. God wants faith in who he is. God's going to go, and if I give that, God, I give, what does God want from me? My faith. What have I got? God, what have you done? When I give you my faith, what do you do? You give me your righteousness. Imputed. That's how you get saved. Understand that? God imputes to you righteousness. But without faith, you can't say, I'm going to do it right. No. Faith makes possible righteousness. It would never happen without it. Because there's no way for us to get righteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. No one can ever do it. No one can do it. How? By faith. God made it possible to do so. Now, if that helps you, it's easy. Easy. I give faith to God. God turns it around and says, I count it to you for righteousness. Now watch it. Do it some more. In Romans in chapter 4, picking up, please, sliding down to verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that's Abraham, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed, there's your little word, reckoned, calculated, imputed unto them also. Sliding over now to having said that, verse 22. Now it's applying all of that, what you got in chapter 4, and then you apply it to your heart, to my heart, to believers. Verse 22. Romans 4 and 22. And therefore it was imputed, there's your little word, to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, no. Why did God write it and say it? Because it's for everybody by faith. Not that it was imputed to him, but for us also, verse 24, to whom it shall be imputed the same way. The same as Abraham got saved. Everyone got righteous. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's the way you get righteous. The same way. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up our Lord from the dead, for who was delivered for our just offenses and was raised again for our justification. God's wonderful, wonderful guiding, working, outworking in this wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, doing that, and while you're in Romans, add to that. Are you getting a righteousness? I tell you 1,000 times, you have to want to be living in the righteousness that God has provided for you. If you aren't, you're hoping the world will come out right and wrong, up and down, good and bad, all over the place. I have to have a foundation resting down on God and his word. That keeps me safe. I don't trust my own righteousness. I don't have any righteousness. You understand? I say, that poor guy doesn't have any righteousness. Well, someday take a look at yourself. How much righteousness do you have? We don't have righteousness. We don't measure up. There's no way. We're condemned. So I don't trust my righteousness. We try to do everything right. We try to add the column right, don't you? You try to add it right, don't you? And you try to do it right. You try to do everything right. But you're counting on God to get everything right. You see? When you were 20, you probably thought you were perfect. You know, but as you get older, you understand you are able to make 1,000 zillion mistakes. And it doesn't take any effort at all to make them. I'm going to give you a little silly illustration. Your life must be somewhat complicated. I was trying to fix the cords where the coffee maker was. I don't have any little gadgets or smartphones or little phones, big phones, whatever. But Jeanette has and it has these cords. So I got to get the cords out of the way. They get all tangled up. So I get the cords. So I was trying to reach in and get the cords. I just filled my coffee cup just to have it to go. And I did it. And I was concentrating and trying to unwind the cord neatly in back. And lo and behold, the flood came and took care of everything. It took care of our things too. I gave them a washing. I did all that. You got it? Another thing, you'll say it's stupid. No. No, it isn't. It's wonderful. I went to tie my tie this morning. And sometimes, every tie's a different. You girls don't know this. But ties are different. And you have to get a tie that's tieable. Some ties are fat all the way down. Some ties are long, skinny. You understand? I have 1,000 ties, I think. Not ties, and they're all kinds. They were there when George Washington had a different tie. So I got all these different things. Okay. So I went to tie this tie. And I was saying to the, I said to him, I shouldn't even have started the conversation before God. I said, God, this is a fat tie. This isn't going to go very good. And I forgot how to tie a tie. Now I said, God, how is that possible? I've tied a tie for 4,000 years. Now how can I possibly forget how to tie a tie? And I tried different things. I tried turning around, not looking in the mirror. I tried everything at all. I said, God, what can I tell you, God? I'm either going to go without a tie out there and explain it to them, or what am I going to do? And without thinking of it, I just tied the tie. Okay? That's our frailty. I don't walk it. I think it's great. Because it isn't about my rightness. It's about His that keeps me and you on that course. And we're going down the, He leadeth me, Psalm 23. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. And we're going down that corridor. Boy, rightness. It is imputed to Him for righteousness. That's awesome, 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 awesome. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if I can, so we need to go, substance of the things hoped for, in the process. And so, now having done that a little bit, so you have that in your mind. I started to tell you in Romans 10. Romans 10. And may I pick up, please? Picking up in verse, I'll read it. Verse 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. How are they going to get saved? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not, N-O-T, according to knowledge. They're thinking, but it is not good thinking. It's not coming out good. Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, they're trusting their own righteousness, and that's what people do. I'm doing the right thing. It's what I want to do. I have peace in my heart, which is probably nothing. And I got all of that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it because I'm going to do it. And that's what we do. That's what Israel. Is it right? Is it right in the light of the light of God and His Word? Is it right? Well, we don't even want to do that because we want to do what we want to do, what we have to do, the way we want to do it. So that's what the Jews were doing. That's what humans do. What do they need? They need to get saved. Verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. You've got to have faith. What's faith? It's the indispensable indispensable thing to believe. You got to do it. Everything you do is by faith. You want to trust God by faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, having said that, and picking up that in mind, over to chapter Romans, Hebrews. Hebrews 11. And Hebrews chapter 11, picking up, if I can, chapter 11, verse 4. Now he's going to illustrate. He's going to go antediluvian. He's going to go before the flood. So if you're going to illustrate the universal understanding, eternal, earthly faith, I'm going to go back, God's going to go back, and take you way back to the beginning. When there's no Jews, there's no religion, there's no politics. Just God and humans. Wow. And they enjoyed God. They knew God, if they wanted to. Now, so when we come to chapter 11, verse 4, God begins with Abel. And I'll read it, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which sacrifice he obtained witness that he was righteous. He was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We just read, so you see it. Remember, we just did all these things. Abel came by faith and sacrifice, and he knew back then, who told them? He just knew. What does God want? God wants you to sacrifice and recognize his saving grace, Genesis 3:15. I want you to do that. So Abel believed God. And slide over there, I guess. We'll come back to this. Over to Genesis. And picking up, please, Genesis in chapter 4. Now, here, I'm going to, a little background. Genesis 3 and 15, remember, we already did this thing. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God, before God created angels, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, determined that Christ would be born, perfect humanity, in Bethlehem of Judea, and he would be the Savior, the Lamb slain. That's the whole centerpiece of everything, of all of forever, from my window. Now, and therefore, when Adam and Eve sinned, which is unknown, understood, God had already given the promise, said what his lamb was going to be slain. And then he said to Adam and Eve, he gave them the promise that he has said. He said, I already have planned and taken care of your sin. Verse 15, and I will put enmity, hostility between thee and the woman, between thy seed, the seed of the woman, and her between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, God, you're going to go, and Satan's going to send him to the cross, and God's going to, in the process of trying to crucify Christ, the devil himself was condemned, and he was judged. Now, in this, easy to see, Genesis 3:15, hold your finger here and go over to Hebrews and chapter 2. And what you're looking at is Genesis 3:15 in Hebrews chapter 2. And in Hebrews. And in chapter 2. Picking up again. Chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He also likewise took part of the same. The seed of the woman is born in Bethlehem of Judea. Why did he do this? That through death he was going to die for our sin. The wages of sin is death. That he might destroy him that had the power, authority of death, that is the devil. That's what he did. So in the process of the devil crucifying him, the devil just shot himself down. Now, back over to Genesis 4. And remember Cain and Abel, and sliding over if I can, chapter 4, verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:20 and 21, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because he believed the promise that the seed of the woman, the seed, you have to have children, Christ had to be born. So when we come to verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. All the humans are going to be born. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. God took two animals, killed them, and skinned them, and gave them the coats of skin. Why? Because they're covering with fig leaves, because they're naked, and they know that they aren't in God. We aren't on your same page anymore. We picked the fig leaves because they're big fig leaves, and we did it. God said, fig leaves, you'll never do. So God gave them coats of skin because the seed of the woman, Christ is going to be born and die, and Christ is going to die and rise again. Now, having said that, and they told, obviously they told, they got saved. Adam and Eve were saved. And Adam and Eve told Cain and Abel that what they had to do. And so Cain and Abel, they're all outside the Garden of Eden, remember, no more in there. And so Cain went and the offerings were done. It was time to show your understanding of God created us to know him, to honor him, to be saved. And they honored him. Abel did so with his offerings. So it means he could have been as a habit. And Cain did the fruit of the ground, because that's what he did. He harvested it, he planted it, and he grew it, and he offered it. He offered him the ground. And then what do we know about Genesis 3:15, 3:19? God, what do we know? We're created of the dust of the earth. We are of the dust of the earth. We go back to the dust of the earth. Genesis 3 in that, the ground is cursed. And you're taking that out of the ground that's cursed and offering it to me. Abel is going to go and offer to me the sinless Son of God in sacrifice. And that's what I honor. Cain was not happy. Not happy. And Cain. So Abel did that. And what Abel did, he shed the blood. He shed the blood of the animals on the ground. That's what he did. Hang on. And in the process, verse 5, but unto Cain and to the offering he had none respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Cain was not a happy camper at all. He was not. And he was very mad. They were both conscious of God. He is God's presence. And Cain is going to honor himself. Cain said, listen, my mother and father did what they did, but I didn't do it. I'm living with the result of it, sin nature. And so Cain was not a happy camper. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted, just like Abel? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, the sin nature is going to come along, and he's going to be dominated. And what's sin going to do? Sin is going to go and kill Abel. Who was the first person murdered on planet Earth? The bad guys, the crooks. No, the first person murdered on Earth was a believer. The world hates believers. Believers. Now, so therefore, and thus Cain, I'll read a little bit more. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, remember, God said to Adam and Eve, oh, where are you guys? He knew they were behind the tree, hiding behind the tree in the fig leaves. That's what they're doing. So here's God, here's Cain. Cain just killed Abel. And God says, hey, where's your brother? Where's your brother? You know, whatever happened to your brother? Oh. Okay. And verse 9. Thy brother, where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. That's the ground. The blood is holding, the ground is holding the blood. Where is the blood? Where's the body in the ground? And it bears evidence, long evidence. And just to see that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful, wonderful care, over to Matthew. And Matthew chapter 23. Matthew in chapter 23. And then we'll go back to Hebrews. Then Matthew chapter 23, picking up in thought. If I can, a little background, verse 33. Our Lord, ye spirit, ye serpents, and ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And remember, our Lord's words aren't nice tolerance. You got to care about people, and sin is sin, but it isn't really that bad. It'll keep you. God died on the cross because of sin. So therefore, generation of vipers. Look at John the Baptist. Oh, you hypocrites, full of dead men's bones. Yeah, that's what people need to hear. We aren't saying it. People aren't saying it. They think nothing's really serious. It really is. Therefore, verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and the wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall be scourged in your synagogues and persecuted, and persecute them from city to city. Verse 35. That upon you who are talking like this, you vipers, you don't believe, and unto you that whole history book is piled up. Unto you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Becherias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Wow. He was killed that way, back over in 2 Chronicles. Now, the blood, the ground, filled with the blood, martyrs. The ground speaking out. Don't ever say we didn't know. You've been killing from Cain, Abel, all the way down through history. You keep eliminating and turning your back on all of the wonderful reality and the truth that would set you free and give you righteousness. And you put it all aside. Now, having said that little bit, so God, you're going to go and have to help us in every way. So, in chapter, over to Romans, back to Hebrews, I want to finish that little bit. Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10. And Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 11, Hebrews, verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent, remember, acceptable sacrifice. He shed the blood of animals. That's what he did, the sacrifice, pointing to Christ's death on the cross. That sacrifice. Then Cain, he shed blood. Cain just had nothing. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. How so? Righteous. God testifying. That's what we got. That's what God's doing. He's pointing to Abel. God testifying of his gifts, his sacrifice, the many offerings that he did to God. Testifying of his gifts, and by it, by the blood, he being dead yet speaketh. The blood's in the ground, and the blood of Abel speaketh yet out and calleth out all of his wonderful things. Cain killed Abel, the ground says so, see the blood. And think of coming up in the tribulation and that. The blood of the martyrs all over the place. And the ground. God, don't worry about the blood. The testimony's there. About God's saving grace. So here's all the hostility, the world systems, the enemy of God. The world system isn't interested in God, and darkness hates light. And so the truth is to be believed by faith. And we rest on God's saving work on Calvary's cross, Genesis 3:15. And when we do so, we're resting on it. And we don't want to get caught up in the world system. The world system is not interested in any way, shape, or form in honoring the blood of Christ. Church, religion, you can have it up to your eyeballs. But to honor God's wonderful saving grace that he gave his only begotten Son to bear the sin, our sin, in his own body on the tree, that is not acceptable. Cain didn't accept it. Genesis 6, with all humanity, Genesis 6, only 8 souls were saved in Noah's Ark. They didn't want it either. And the world, as we're coming down to the end, they don't want it. They don't mind it. There are 1,000 arguments about 1,000 issues, and they're missing the whole thing. In the name of what's going on, we're missing out on the wonderful, wonderful saving grace of God. Now, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember the world hates, and probably nothing. Time's gone. I hope you got a little bit. Remember, faith and righteousness. Easy. Faith, God declares me right. That's where you're trusting.